This evening, if you have your Bible, turn with me to Ezekiel's letter to the church. Ezekiel, and we're looking this evening at the last portion of chapter 28. The Lord is giving word to Ezekiel and what is going to happen with those nations who have stood in opposition to Israel and Judah. Ezekiel, if you remember, lived during the time that the northern kingdom had been taken into captivity by the Assyrians about 200 years prior to Ezekiel coming on the scene. The southern kingdom of Judah and the city of Jerusalem and the Temple Mount and the temple were currently under siege at this particular time when Ezekiel is writing this letter by Nebuchadnezzar. It's his third invasion. And this invasion is going to be the final invasion that he's going to have against Israel. And he's brought siege against the city. He's ultimately going to be destroying the city walls, the city itself, and the Temple Mount. He'll be taking the Temple Mount, the temple. And he'll be taking many of the temple instruments with him back to Babylon. And later on, God will judge Nebuchadnezzar's grandson when he desecrates those in the party. But this evening we're looking at the city of Zidon. Zidon today is still a city. You heard it on the news this last week as Israel had bombed Zidon. If you would look at up at the map, in Lebanon is right here north of Israel, right along here, and the border of Israel is right in, and Lebanon is right there. Tyre and Zidon are right north of the border, and Zidon is interesting in history. Zidon was settled before Tyre. And the people from Zidon went down and established Tyre. Last couple times we met, we looked at Tyre and how that God had judged Tyre during the time of Ezekiel. After that, first by Nebuchadnezzar on Tyre being two cities, one on land, one in the ocean, on a little island that was about 500 meters offshore, and Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the land city, and later Alexander the Great destroyed Tyre on the island. There still is a Tyre today, but it's a mere village. It's not the city that it once was. We studied last week how Tyre was the center of the economic region of the world. That portion of the world, the world around the Mediterranean Sea at this particular time. And when it was destroyed, the kings wailed. And if you compare it to what's going to happen in the last days, when Babylon, economic Babylon, will be destroyed and the merchants of the world will wail, it is much the same thing. Now, Sidon has some other interesting connections to the land of Israel. Zidon was the place that Jezebel came from. Her father ruled in Zidon, and Ahab married her. She was a wicked woman, and she worshipped Baal and Ashtaroth, and brought all of that false worship, although Israel, the northern kingdom, had already been involved in false worship. She brought it in and through her husband Ahab and herself and encouraged them to worship. She brought all the priests and encouraged the false worship of Baal. And that ultimately resulted in Elijah coming against the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel during the reign of Ahab. Sidon also was a city that was settled by the Phoenicians. Now, if you look at the map, Gaza is down here, Tyre and Sidon are up here. Where Gaza is today, that was settled by the Phoenicians as well. Although they took the name down there, they went by the Philistines. And today you hear Palestinians. That was really not, there is no such Palestinian people. They are not the Philistines. The Philistines came from the islands in the middle of the Mediterranean, and we talked before that what they did is a lot of historians and people believe they actually came from North Africa, settled on those islands, and then they became people that were masters of the sea, and became traders, and then they moved and settled in the west coast of what became the land, it was a Canaanite land, and it became the land of Israel, and they also settled in the west coast of what today is Tyre and Sidon, and Beirut and Lebanon. Now, they were called Phoenicians in Tyre and Sidon, they were called Philistines down in Gaza, and those the five Philistine cities down there. But they were the same people. And they were always enemies of Israel for the most part. There was a short period of time where Hiram, the king of Tyre, was a friend of David and also a friend of Solomon. And gave them materials to build, first of all, David's palace and then the temple. But that was one of the few times in history that actually they were friendly to Israel. They were constantly enemies. Right now, as we're studying and during the time of Ezekiel, we see that they view Israel a threat to their economic well-being, and they are thrilled that Israel is being destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. And this is one of the reasons that God is bringing judgment against them, is because of the mocking of Israel, really mocking of God and mocking of the temple at Jerusalem. Now this evening we're going to be looking at Sidon, and Sidon is the city that was first settled and then later on went down and they settled Tyre. So let's begin at verse 20 of chapter 28. And again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Sidon, and prophesy against it, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Sidon, and I will be glorified in the midst of thee, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall have executed judgments on her, and shall be sanctified in her. For I will send into her pestilence, and blood into her streets, and the wounded shall be judged in the midst of her by the sword upon her on every side, and they shall know that I am the Lord. And there shall be no more a pricking briar unto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them, that despise them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen, then shall they dwell in their land. And I have given my servant Jacob, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Yea, they shall dwell in with confidence, when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them round about them, and they shall know that I am the Lord, their God. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just speak to us through your word tonight and help us to understand that you will deliver upon your word completely. And Father, help us to realize that you are the one who is in control, not the men of this world, not Satan and the demons of hell, but rather you. And Lord, that you have promised and you will deliver upon your promises, and we can count on your faithfulness. Lord, now I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that we talked about last week and also we talked about on Sunday is how that the church has been infiltrated with a philosophy that Israel isn't Israel. And Israel isn't for today. And the people in Israel really aren't Jews. And the people that are in the nation of Israel today, the nation of Israel really isn't Israel. And God is done with Israel because of their rebellion. And they turn back to times like this during the time of Ezekiel when the nation of Israel stood in rebellion against God. And if you look at the history of the nation of Israel, and you look at the history of the Jewish people, God really speaks it correctly when he calls them a hard-hearted, stiff-necked people who are constantly rebelling against him. But it's interesting that God also says, I have called you out and made you a nation, and you are my people. And he made promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the founding patriarchs or fathers of what became the Jewish people. And he said that the land would be given to them, that the promises of God's word would be theirs, and that through them the Messiah would come. And in spite of their rebellion, he would continue to work through them, and he would use them to reveal himself to the rest of the world. We should be excited about the day in which we live, because you're seeing things happen right now in the Middle East that are really speaking of what promises were given to Ezekiel. And we're going to also be looking, if we have time, at the third chapter of Joel, where Joel speaks of some of the same promises. One of the things that we see is that the Lord said that the nation of Israel, as we studied on Sunday morning, was going to be scattered amongst the nation. And they were going to be so that he was going to drive them out amongst the people and drive them off of the land because of their rebellion. But he also told Daniel, which we've been studying, that there was going to be 70 weeks of years where he would work specifically with the nation of Israel, and during that time the Messiah would come. And we saw that that was at the end of the 69th year, the Messiah would be cut off, but not for himself. In other words, Jesus was going to come in the 69th week of Daniel's years, and he would be cut off. And we know that that was the time that he came to Israel, and he went to Jerusalem. He was crucified, not for himself, but for us, and for our sins, and for the sins of the whole world. And he came as the Messiah, the promised Messiah, and yet the people did not realize his coming. I remember Jesus, when he entered Jerusalem, wept over the city and said how that he wished that they understood the hour in which they were, but they didn't. And he said he'd like to gather them as a hen would gather his chicks, their chicks, and put them under his wings. But the vast majority of them refused to acknowledge that he was the Messiah, even though all the prophecies dealing with his first coming were fulfilled 100%, and they should have known. They were looking for a deliverer from the Roman Empire. Jesus came to deliver them from their sins before he could ever establish his kingdom upon the earth. And so we see that then, if the little flyer we've got out in back shows the 70 weeks of Daniel, and we're dealing with some of this period of the period between when Jesus was cut off and when the 70th week will start, when the Antichrist comes. We studied that on Sunday morning. Now, if you look at what Ezekiel is saying here, remember I said when prophecies are given, oftentimes there can be two applications. The one, the prophet is speaking directly to the people that are alive when he is living there, but he's also giving prophecies that have future impact and will be fulfilled in the future. The prophecy that Ezekiel is giving here about Zidon has this same thing. In the immediate future, immediate time during the time that Ezekiel is living, we know that Zidon was also attacked by Nebuchadnezzar. Zidon was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. people died at the hand of Nebuchadnezzar in fulfillment of what he says here. But there's things here that could not be fulfilled during the time of Ezekiel and during the time that Nebuchadnezzar invaded this particular area of the world. And some of these things are spoken of here that are dealing, can only deal with the time in which we live, and there are prophecies that we're beginning to see fulfilled in the hour in which we live. It says let's pick it up at verse 24, and there shall be no more pricking briar onto the house of Israel, nor any grieving thorn of all that are round about them, that are aspired them, and they shall know that I am the Lord God. Well, today, the house of Israel is still grieved by Hezbollah, although Hezbollah consists mainly of Arabs and Egyptians and people of that region. There really aren't any Phoenicians identifiably as a Phoenician nation any longer. But they have the attitude that the Phoenicians and Sidonians had. Right now, Hezbollah is sitting the Israeli Defense Force, their Air Force, attacked and bombed Zidon because Hezbollah was setting up missiles to shoot at northern Israel again from Zidon. And they are still being a thorn in the side of Israel, but there's going to come a day where they're no longer a thorn in the side of Israel. Part of what we've seen happen is God is beginning to work this, and we talked about it on Sunday, where he had scattered the nation, the people, the Jewish people amongst the nations of the world, and he said in the last days, I will call them back as an identifiable people from amongst the nations of the world, and they shall once again come to the land of Israel. I want you to understand, Ezekiel speaks of this. We're going to look at that Joel speaks of this. And he says that this is going to happen. Ezekiel talks about it in more than one chapter. Later on, when you get to chapters 36, 37, 38, in that area where he's talking about the war of Gog and Magog, which is a future war. It's really, I believe, everything's being put in place for that to occur in the day in which we live. He also talks about the fact that the nation of Israel is going to come back into the land, and they're going to come back as dead bones. And then God is going to breathe on them and breathe life, and then he's going to put flesh on them, and then he'll give them a spirit again. We're seeing that happen in the day in which we live. I just shared with you some of the amazing things that we're seeing happen in Israel. The Jewish people as a whole have always rejected the Messiah. Part of the fact is the rabbis have always taught Jesus as the Messiah. And they really, it goes all the way back to what the priests, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the Sanhedrin were teaching at the time that Jesus came. The vast majority of them did not want to acknowledge Jesus as Messiah because he was a direct threat to their political reign and to the agreements they had made with Rome, and he also demanded that they be accountable to the Word of God just as everyone was accountable, and they viewed that they stood above the Word of God, that they could dictate to the people how the people should live, which was resulted in being able to line their own pockets with money and power. And so consequently, they did everything in their power to disprove Jesus as Messiah, but everything that he did when he was on earth proved that he was the Messiah. He fulfilled, as I mentioned, all the prophecies of being able to heal the blind, the sick, to be able to cast out demons, the fact that he was able to raise the dead, and the fact that he came exactly like they said, was born of a virgin in Bethlehem, just as the scriptures had said. He went to the cross and was died amongst those that were thieves and criminals, just as the scriptures said. But yet he was buried in the tomb of a rich man, just as the scriptures had said, and that he rose again on the third day, just as the scriptures said. And there is, as we mentioned back on Resurrection Sunday, there have been many men that have very powerful positions and are lawyers or professors that have gone and said, I'm going to disprove that Jesus was the Messiah. And you think especially of the one lawyer who is a professor at Harvard University, and he taught how to put together a case, a criminal case, and he teach students the proper way to do that. He was going to investigate what the scripture said about the resurrection of Christ, historical evidence, and by the time he was done, he who had become an atheist slash agnostic prior to this became a believer in Jesus Christ and gave his life to the Lord. Because he says everything that you hear is true. And everything, the evidence is overwhelming. And if it was in a court of law, it would be a non-case because it is so overwhelming. And yet you see that God said that the Jewish people, they wouldn't accept it, and their hearts would be blinded, or their eyes would be blinded, their ears would be stopped. And part of it would be that the gospel would go to the Gentiles. And so from the time that Jesus was crucified, in 70 AD, about 35 years after he was crucified, the Jewish people were scattered amongst the nations of the world, and were scattered really until the late, about the early part of the last century, the late 1800s, early 1900s, when a few of them started coming back to Israel, but they started coming back in earnest about the middle part of last century. And in 1948, they became a nation, just as God said. Now, all of that to say what Ezekiel is saying here. He says in verse 25, thus saith the Lord God, when I shall have gathered the house of Israel from the people among whom they are scattered, and shall be sanctified in them in the sight of the heathen. Now, he doesn't say that they're all going to get saved the minute they come back into the land, but he says, I will use them and bring them back into the land just as I promised I would do. And I am going to fulfill my word that I gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that this is their land. Remember, those who are in the Sunday morning Bible study where we're going through the life of last few weeks, we've been looking at Jacob. We're going to look at him again this last week. But remember, when Jacob was sent away to go and live with his uncle Laban, which was up in Syria, which Abraham and Isaac and Jacob would have come into the land of Canaan, which is now Israel, which is right there. And Isaac and Rebekah sent Jacob back up into Syria, and this is also referred to in the scripture as Padan-Aram. That is where they sent him, and it says that his uncle Laban is referred to Laban the Syrian. And that's where Abraham's family was settled. His brothers and his dad and his nieces and nephews, and all, they were all up there. And they sent Jacob there. But when they sent Jacob away, they said that they were sending him there to escape his brother Esau. But he was sent very similar. Under similar conditions, he also was going to find a wife up there that would think like he thought as far as the same perspective of God. And one of the things that his father Isaac did is Abraham had sent his servant up there to Syria, that same area, to get Rebekah, Jacob's mother, to be his wife. And if you remember an interesting thing that he told the servant before he left, and the servant said, well, what if she won't come back? Abraham said, you are not to allow Isaac to go to Syria because God has given him this land. And God reaffirmed that promise to Jacob. And we see that Ezekiel is talking about this promise. that has been made, and that God said, I'm going to bring them back to the land that I have given them. Now, whose land is Israel? It's not the Arabs, it's not the Egyptians, it's not the Jordanians, it's not the Syrians. It's the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but really it's God's land. And God will give it to whom God wants to give it and whom He's promised to give it. It's just, for example, if your father had a will and he was leaving you some of his material thing, and he says, I'm going to give these to you. And then somebody comes along and they say, well, I think I deserve it more than him. I don't think he should have it. But it doesn't matter because the will of the father was that it would be given to the child, to the son, not to somebody else. Well, God, his will, if you would be that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's descendants, and it says their descendants, would inherit the land. So the Jews are the Jews. They've inherited the land that is God's land that He has given to them. And He says, I will bring you back into the land. And then the interesting thing is, Ezekiel says something here. He says that the land, and continuing on at the end of verse 25, he says, then shall they dwell in the land that I have given to my servant Jacob. Now at this time, just about all the Jewish people have been driven out of the land by Nebuchadnezzar. So Ezekiel is saying, this is going to be a real event, but it's not happening now in my lifetime. And he says, and they shall dwell safely therein, and shall build houses and plant vineyards. Has that happened in Israel? A number of years ago, my wife and I were on a tour in Israel, and our tour guide said, do you know what the national bird of Israel is? And everybody's trying to think, what's the national bird of Israel? And he goes, as you're looking around the city of New Jerusalem, you're seeing a bunch of cranes all over the city. And he was making a pun. And he said, the national bird of Israel is the crane because the cranes are everywhere. And they're building and expanding. And if you look at what has come out of Israel, it's amazing. All of the produce, all of the inventions, all of the trade that's come out of Israel. It's amazing. And all of this has happened since 1948. Because when they came back into the land, they had nothing. And they were surrounded, the nation of Israel, this little tiny spot right here, there's Muslims. We have the whole map, all of North Africa's Muslims, all going down into Chad and Sudan is Muslims. And if you look at the land area, the number of people, the armaments, Israel shouldn't exist. They shouldn't have existed since 1948, but God promised they would. And He said they're going to come back into the land and they're going to be prosperous. They're going to build houses. They're going to plant vineyards. That's exactly what they did. You go to Israel today and it's amazing. They've turned the desert into a blossoming rose. They export flowers to the Netherlands. They export much of their food to Europe. One of the main sources of food for Europe, of vegetables and various things that are sent to Europe. And they took that which nothing hardly was growing on, and now you can go and drive down south along the Dead Sea is down in here, and drive down to the Dead Sea, and you'll see all kinds of palm trees and places where they've had desalinization and they've got water where water wasn't there, and they've done amazing things, just like Ezekiel said. And he also says some more. He said that they shall dwell with confidence when I have executed judgments upon all those that despise them. I remember a number of years ago when Yasser Arafat was still head of the PLO, he was making a news conference, And he was talking about how that he was a descendant of the Philistines. Well, he was lying because Yasser Arafat was Egyptian. And it was well known he was Egyptian. But he was saying in this news conference, well, I'm a descendant of the Philistines and this is our land. And Israel has no claim to this land. And, you know, God has given us this land. And the woman next to him said, I would kind of watch what you say because that's not what the scripture says. And what the scripture says is God gave the land to the Jewish people and there is no such thing as Philistine. And if he was a descendant of the Philistines, we already looked at what God was going to do to the Philistines, and the Philistines don't even exist today because of the constant attacking and destructive attitudes, not only against Israel, but if you look at all of these people that come against the Jewish people, why do they hate the Jewish people and why do they come against them so much? It's because they hate the God of the Jewish people. And that's what the Philistines did. They worshiped Dagon. They worshiped other false gods. They hated the God of the Jews because they worshiped demonic entities that masqueraded as their gods. Satan puts hatred in the hearts of people against that which God loves. Just before prayer time, we were talking about right now there are Christians being martyred in places all over the world. This last year, there's been more Christians killed in Nigeria and in Central Africa than have been killed. I don't know, you have to go back a long time before you see that many people being killed and slaughtered by the Muslims. And the same thing is happening now, as Roberta said, in Iran, as the current Muslim leadership is losing power. They've got the jails filled with their enemies, and they arrest anybody who has a Bible, anybody who professes Christ, and they put them in prison, and they're now executing them. Why? Why be afraid of the Christians? It's interesting. Back at the time of Constantine, who was not a believer, contrary to what the Catholic Church says, but Constantine was losing control of the Roman Empire. And he looked at those around, and there was all these different groups within the Roman Empire who were conspiring, trying to take his power and position away. But he saw one group that wasn't. And it was the Bible-believing Christians. They weren't threatening to overthrow Constantine. They didn't threaten to take over the Roman Empire. They didn't want, just like Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. Their loyalty wasn't to Constantine, it was to the Lord. And they were the best working, they were the most faithful and honest, they could be trusted. Why? Because they've been given the Spirit of God. And God's character is one of truth, trustworthiness, faithfulness. And they were reflecting His character. What Constantine did, and this would be a pagan view of looking at this, he said, if I make my empire Christian, then I'm going to be able to control it and establish it. And so what he did is he took his army and he marched them through the river. He supposedly saw a cross in the sky, which told him that God wanted him to do this. If it was a manifestation, it wasn't of God. But anyway, because you don't march an army through the river and they go in one side pagans and come out the other side Christians, and then you go to all the pagan temples, lop off the heads of the pagan gods and replace them with the statues, the idols, into Christian apostles and Christian people out of the Bible. And that's what he did. It wasn't a Christian nation, but he attempted to make it one because he saw the value in the Christian's life. He saw a difference. Well, part of the problem is the people of the world that are yielded to Satan view what God loves and they hate it because Satan hates it. And they're serving the God of this world. And you see here that they hated Israel. The Zidonians hated Israel. And they wanted to destroy Israel. Just like all the other nations that we just looked at wanted to destroy Israel. Today you have this whole group of nations around there that's at odds with Israel. And right now, Turkey is making all kinds of rumblings how they're going to come against Israel. They're already trying to take over this whole area of the Mediterranean Sea so that they can gain control of Israel's natural gas and oil fields that are located along the west coast there. Comments been made the next Iran is going to be Turkey. If you look at the Bible, that's exactly what it says. It says Turkey and Iran are going to join together and they're going to come against Israel and they're going to attack Israel. Erdogan and Turkey is saying that. He's saying that Israel is the problem. Israel isn't the problem. Name one other nation in the world that drops leaflets and tells the citizens, leave because we've got to bomb because they're setting up rockets and armaments in your houses, mosques, schools, and we're going to bomb, so leave so that you don't get killed. I've never heard of another nation doing that. Yet Israel is falsely accused by the world. Well, as we see here, Ezekiel is saying that God's going to bring judgment against the people. Now, he brought judgment against Zidon and Tyre, but it wasn't a final judgment. The final judgment's coming. Just quickly turn with me to Joel, and we're out of time. But Joel gives us, in chapter 3, another view of the events of the last days, which Ezekiel is speaking of here. Joel chapter 3, verse 1, "And behold, in those days and in that time, then shall I bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem. I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat and will plead with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel when they have scattered amongst the nations and departed my land." So God says that in the last days, there's coming a day of judgment, accountability, where all the nations that have been against Israel, which basically the Bible tells us, in the last days, Israel will have no one that will come to their aid. And he says here that the Lord will come to their aid, and the nations, and the Lord will gather all the nations in the valley of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat means the valley of judgment. And that's what God is going to do, is judge the nations of the world that are coming not only against Israel, but coming against Him, because they're coming against Israel. And he says in verse 3, "And they have cast lots for my people, and have given a boy for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they might drink." One of the things that you're seeing that happened during Zidon and Tyre at the time of Ezekiel, you saw last week they were heavily into trafficking. Trafficking in humans. They sold people into slavery. Guess what's going to happen in the last days? They're going to sell people into slavery. And you're hearing about it on the news. You know how many young kids have disappeared since our borders were left wide open, didn't keep track of anybody, and it's into the thousands of young kids that have disappeared that have come into America. Have no idea where they're at. Are they enslaved? Are they been sold into slavery as far as working? Have they been sold as sex slaves? Have been sacrificed in bizarre religious? I don't know, but they can't find them. And the human trafficking is going on today. And you know one of the main groups of people that's involved in human trafficking is Muslim. And if you go to Africa, they sell in Africa, they sell their own people into slavery. Nothing has changed. And God says, a day of accountability is coming. Enough's enough. And the world's going to stand and be accountable. And he's going to use Israel as the tool that's going to draw all the world, because they're going to hate Israel because they stand for God. And God is working through them. And they think they're going to be, Satan thinks he's going to destroy God's character and who God is if he can destroy Israel, but really the Lord's going to use this to exalt himself in the eyes of the world. Well, we're out of time. I didn't get through all of Joel that I wanted to. But I trust that you see that the events that Ezekiel speaks of were events for his time, but they're also events for our time. And we're seeing the final events being fulfilled in the day in which we live. Things that never could have happened and be fulfilled completely in the time of Ezekiel and Daniel are being fulfilled today. Let's just close with a prayer. Lord, I pray that you just speak us through your word. Help us to understand it. And Lord, I pray that you just help us to be encouraged as we look at the fact that the Zidonians weren't in control, the men and women of Tyre weren't in control, the Philistines weren't in control, and today Hezbollah, the Iranian mullahs, the people that hate you throughout the world, they're not in control. You're in control. Father, help us to realize that our faith and trust and hope rests in you, the one who is faithful to his word and the one who will deliver upon it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.